comes to our identity, our culture has muddied the water to the point of utter confusion and chaos. But it doesn't have to be that way. In fact, if we go right back to God's Word, the source of our very existence, we find that it is really quite simple. Hi there, and welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, who's unplugged today. We spent some time casually discussing gender identity. It is a serious subject that has assaulted us here of late in our culture that we find ourselves in the middle of. What are the answers? What does God have to say about all of this? It really is quite simple. Let's catch up with Pastor Chris as we spend some time together discussing gender identity. Here we go. So we are going to get a little controversial on this broadcast. But it's an issue that desperately needs to be addressed because, well, quite frankly, the gospel has answers. Answers that are right, true, and correct, as opposed to the answers that current culture seems to want to think is correct. And that is gender identity. The recent administration has come out and said, okay, well, you know, we're going to recognize that you can change your identity. You can become whatever you want. We don't have male and female anymore. We have a half dozen different identities, non-binary. We have really come around in our society and taken a direct affront to God's creative norm, haven't we?
Yeah, this is obviously a big discussion. that's exactly right. It really does come down to the struggle for identity today. Who we are as a people, how did God make us? What is the purpose for which he made us? Am I valued? How am I valued? And so everyone's in search of an identity today. And sadly, the society and the cultural norms of today have been to try to reverse what God has put in place at creation and ordained at creation. We call these creational norms that all throughout history have made society able to function. So without these norms in place, I personally think that we're going to have a great opportunity when this collapses under the weight of its own burden to help people pick up the pieces and it's just not going to work because you can't reset what God has put in place and ordained. There's a creator to all of this.
Yeah.
Somebody ordained things. Where did marriage come from? I mean, we got to go back to the basics. Say, where did marriage come from? It's amazing today to have to say God made two sexes, male and female. In the beginning, he created them in his own image, male and female. He made them. It's Genesis 2. We're at a point where we have to go back and study that and say, God put this in place. So first and foremost, we have to see who this is rebelling against and what it is that's happening. Unfortunately, it's being pitched like every other divide in our society, that if you don't adopt this prevailing narrative that there's no longer male or female, then you get name called, you're a very bad person, and I could go down the line of all the terrible things that are said. So I think we have to go back to creation first and ask these fundamental questions. What did God do at the beginning? Who is this really a rebellion against? What is happening? And so we've made this distinction today that I think is a very unbiblical distinction, an unhealthy distinction between gender and sex. Gender is a grammatical category, and it's intended to simply recognize whether one is male or female, but that's not how it's being used anymore. It used to be used that way. Now it's being used to set a sharp divide between your sex, which is male or female, as opposed to now whatever your subjective feeling is on the inside, which you can call your desired identity through your gender that you choose, which may be different than biological sex. That's a distinction that's being made today. And we say, wait a minute. You can't use a category that's imposed to now undermine that God made you a certain person as male or female for his own image and for his own glory, in his own image and for his own glory. So that's the challenge today. That's what's happening. And so it's opened the door to now all kinds of different things that are happening in the way that people are looking for an identity apart from the way that God made them. And that never will go well. It never will end well. I know that's difficult to say in this culture, but we have to be willing to say it. God makes things. God made us. Psalm 100. You didn't make yourself. And there's a purpose for which he made you. And there's real satisfaction and enjoyment in the identity that he gave you in his image. And that's what we need to talk about again. And then we need to talk about, well, then, if that's the case, what happened at the fall that got us into this mess? What does redemption bring in terms of identity? And how are we restored back to how God made us? That's the sort of flow that we need to think about again, is creation. This is the norm. What happened that got us into this? How is that fixed? And then how are we restored?
So what did happen in the fall?
Right.
And where did it go wrong, and how did we lose our identity in the fall?
That's another great question. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, God made them male and female. Satan came in, and Satan planted a seed at his instigation that this God really is not good. The way that he created you, the way that he made you, is holding you back from what you could be. He introduced an autonomous way, planting that seed, that they could choose a different route for their own identity, own happiness. And that's exactly what said. When you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that he said you shouldn't, you could be something so much better. You could be your own God.
Yeah.
And you can define your own way. And you can choose a way for you that would produce your happiness away from this oppressive tyrant. Well, how do people view God in society? The same way today.
Psalm 2.
An oppressive tyrant.
Yeah.
And it was the lie from the beginning that Jesus talked about. He is a liar. He lied about God. He lied about the good and right way. And so what happened then is it plunged us into sin and misery. And it didn't just affect coming into contact with oppressive environments or oppressive systems. We talk about systemic stuff. No, the diagnosis of Scripture was that the human heart became desperately wicked. But it wasn't just the conscious act of the will. It was actually the desires of the human heart that became corrupted. Now, this is really important for today. For when people say, I have a gender that's different from biological sex, they're essentially saying, I have made a decision on a desire to fundamentally identify myself in a different way. The Bible through and through says that's a wrong desire. Now, for some reason, the gender decision gets a pass. But Christians have always said any desire contrary to the law of God is sin and needs to be repented of and fought of and turned away from. So I could from the beginning, we all have different propensities and different desires. I could from the beginning, you know, had a really strong inclination to, you know, whatever. Doesn't matter what it is. We're called to recognize that and confess that and repent of that. Today, that is gone in this discussion. There's no sense of my desires are faulty. Whatever makes me happy. And this has been the American thought for a long time. Pursue the desire of your heart, because whatever your desires are in your heart, that's what's good and right. And Christianity has always fundamentally said, no, that's not true. The human heart is desperately wicked, Jeremiah 17. And who can know it?
Above all
and
else.
Jesus, when he diagnosed, said, no, it isn't just the physical actions of murder. It's what comes out of that heart is the polluting point.
Right.
And the origination point. So this is what happened at the fall. And ever since then, we've tried to define our own way and rebel against God. And we have a lot of misery for it, don't we?
Well, case in point, we tend to categorize when we really shouldn't. There's no room for categorization. To have someone in the church who is exercising premarital sex or extramarital sex point a long finger at somebody who's wanting to change their identity.
Right.
It doesn't work.
No, this is really a fair point, because the church has been compromised and tolerant of all kinds of other desires and sinful practices that shows our hypocrisy on this point. If we're all up in arms about this, where were we about other things? Where were we up in arms about divorce? Where were we up in arms about all the other sinful things that have happened? And we've given passes on adultery. We've given passes on this or that. And then it comes to this very unnatural desire, as Paul classifies it, and we fall apart. It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah, we got to draw the line somewhere.
We got to go back and say, all of us are born with unnatural, sinful desires that we have to fight against. That's part of what God diagnoses about the problem of the human heart. So, you know, the thoughts and desires of their hearts are only evil continually. It's Genesis 6. So anyways, that's the mess we're in. And so it shouldn't be a surprise that sinful human beings, when they degenerate further and further and further, they're going to keep taking and taking and following sinful desires further and further and further. That's what we do. That's what I do when I fall into sin. That's what everyone does when they fall into sin. And I'm not standing here, you're not sitting here saying, oh, those bad people.
Right.
We're saying, no, we're chief of sinners. We're the worst in this. We understand that, but for the grace of God, that's not a popular saying anymore, but it still is true. There we go. So, okay, that's the problem.
Right.
What's the solution?
Well, yes, we've lost our identity. We've swapped the original identity that we had for something that is far subservient, far inferior. So how is it restored?
So our identity is really in the old Adam outside of Jesus. The old Adam being fallen, and that opens us up and subjects to an endless search for an identity. It's kind of like Cain wandering to the land of Nod, looking for hope and an answer, and humanity's wandering. That's what humanity's doing, looking for an identity, and it doesn't have one. That's why our young people, this is a good point about young people. That's why our young people struggle in this world. They so desperately want it. We all want to be loved. We all want to be valued. We all want to be accepted. We all want to have purpose. We all want to know that somebody loves us, that somebody cares for us, is watching out for us. And we want people to notice that. That's in us, right?
And that's found in identity. Mm-hmm. And so we have people looking for their identity in this relationship or that relationship, this identity or that identity. It's all horizontal.
Well, and go back to the woman at the well. Woman at the well was desperately searching for an identity. She had had five husbands, and the one she had now was not her husband. She's looking for love. She was looking for acceptance. She was looking for someone to care for her, and she didn't find it. Yeah. And that's a good picture of us, isn't it?
And nobody,
adulterers,
yeah.
We're always moving around to the next best thing that we think will give us happiness, and then it fails us, and then we're on to something else. We jump. We're always on to something new. So what is the solution? It's Jesus. Who is the solution? It's Jesus. When he came, he died and rose again triumphant to fulfill and solve what Adam lost, the first Adam, our federal head. He's the head of the human race, Jesus. There's two heads, Adam and Jesus. Jesus comes and says, in him, all who believe in him now take on his identity.
And that identity, we are quick to bring the cross into this. He died, but he also lived. a perfect
life. Right. And so the Bible says, when we believe in Jesus, we are brought into union with him. In fact, Paul makes such a big deal of this in 1 Corinthians 6 that he says, do you not know that you've been joined with Christ and you're one spirit with him? That's why any form of sexual immorality is so wrong, because you're introducing into a holy union that which is profane.
Yes.
So that's why any form, pornography, any form of sexual deviance is introducing darkness into our beautiful, holy union with Jesus. And Paul even mentions a prostitute there. It's like bringing a prostitute in. It's that bad. So that's why what he's trying to motivate us to is to say, whoa, I have an identity now. I have purpose. I am accepted. I am loved. He has bought me. See, this is the message of Christianity. This is what Paul keeps saying in 1 Corinthians. You were bought with a price. Honor God in your bodies because you're now owned. You're now purchased.
A new creation.
You're a new creation. All things have passed. The new has come. Old things have passed. Your old sinful way of life to which you're now ashamed is done. He broke that slavery. Call that dominion. And now he's giving you a brand new, you're slave to righteousness. You're in him. You have a brand new identity. So everything that everyone's looking for is what ultimately is solved in Jesus Christ, in the gospel. And that's the good news of the solution, right?
Right?
The good news of the solution is the cross. Now, then we get to restoration. What does restoration look like? Well, look at what's falling apart. Restoration is going to fall into every area of life. Our marriages, what now we're putting away in our life. We go back to treasure how he made us as male and female. We realize there's value and purpose in that. We realize that he loves me as he made me. We realize that there's acceptance with God, that he cares, that he protects me, that he watches over me. I mean, you know, I think of the young girls in our society. To have this message for them is beautiful. Mm. Your heavenly Father loves you. And you have value. And he loved you so much, he gave his son to die for you. You don't need what the world is offering you as a different identity. And so what does that look like practically in life? It's going to change our homes. It's going to change how we function in families. It's going to reprioritize things. We're going to be content with the assignments that he's given us in life. We actually are not just going to be content with it. We're going to see it as a beautiful design God appointed for me to serve him and to love him and to enjoy him forever. We were made to enjoy God. And this is what's sad is that everyone's running around right now looking for an identity. Anyone listening to this should ask, why are there so many different identity groups?
None of them satisfy.
And they're all in opposition with each other.
Yes.
So the point is that the true identity we need has been offered and solved in the person and the work of Jesus. And now this has the effect of making me change and pursue who I now am.
Yes.
I am in Christ. So, you know, what is that going to look like in my homes as a father? I'm going to love my wife as Christ loved the church. The wife represents the bride of Christ. She's going to demonstrate that love to her husband as a responding vessel to the wonderful news of the gospel. And is called to respect her husband. You know, that's what Paul says. So children now can say, wow, I don't have to push the world's agendas on my parents. I don't have to push a different identity on my parents. Now I accept this identity in Christ, and I can honor my parents as I'm called to. There's freedom in all this, is what I'm saying. There's real happiness in this because it's God ordained.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and maybe a brief word on before we close. How do we love those who we believe are in these patterns and looking for different identities? The worst thing we can do, no matter how far down the line what somebody's choosing for a different alternate identity, the worst thing we can do is act like Pharisees to them. Say, I'm not going to eat with them. I'm not going to talk to them. The best thing you can do is tell them the truth in love about faith in Christ, about repentance, about the new life you have and how the Lord has set you free in the gospel. Tell them the story of what he's done for you and then show hospitality and love to them.
Doesn't that, and this may be a question going through a few minds listening to us here today, Chris. How do you do that without affirming where they're at?
Tell the truth. That's not rocket science. Tell the truth. The biggest problem for Christians right now is because of all of the legislation and fear-mongering and hatred and fear of persecution, we're stopping telling the truth. Tell the truth. We got to do it right here, right now. Someone's not going to like it.
Be faithful.
But they should know that we love you enough to do that.
Yeah.
And you know, you may view this as hate. You may view this as you know, us not affirming you. But actually what we're saying is we care enough and we love you enough to help you with the answer that has given us freedom, and we want you to have it. Now, you may not agree with me. That's your choice. You may choose and say, forget you. I don't want to talk to you. That's your choice. But it won't be on my end. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to care for you. I'm going to do what I can to show you that I love my neighbor. That's the calling of the Christian. The results belong to the Lord. But if you talk to somebody like Rosaria Butterfield, who was once a practicing lesbian and was brought out of it, we did an interview on Abounding Grace. You should go listen
right.
to it.
Yes.
She will tell you how she was won. It wasn't by someone angrily yelling at her for the identity and the things that she chose. It was from a Christian who patiently and lovingly showed endless hospitality, didn't ostracize, but spoke the truth to her and cared for her, and she felt love. And slowly that won her over.
So there is involvement and time.
There is.
And investment.
In this day and age, there just is.
Yeah.
There just is. And be specific in your target. You don't have to go and save everyone. You can't.
No.
Jesus was wise in who he went to and knew who to go to. And sometimes they're right in front of us if we'll just open our eyes.
Requires a bit of prayer then, doesn't it?
Of course. Of course. And humility, because, you know, if you're going to correct anyone else or tell anyone else, take heed lest you fall. Yeah. You do it with the spirit of gentleness, lest you're overtaken in the same trespasses. Isn't that something that could happen? So,
Christ is our perfect example in this. He came to us with the truth.
Yeah, and he was crucified for the truth. Why do you hate me? Because I told you the truth, John 7.
Yeah,
I tell you the truth.
Yeah,
and you know what? This is the last thing to close on today. There is truth. Truth is not what you personally decide or I personally decide. Sanctify them in your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. The word of God is the single great deposit of truth in this world that we need.
Could you imagine creating a gizmo that would peel and slice a banana for you without ever touching it? Creating the directions on how to use it, and then having somebody else come along and say, oh, I'm going to create my own directions, and, you know, I'm going to use this as a comb to brush my hair. How would you feel? I can't help but wonder if God kind of looks down upon us and says the same thing. It's just confusing to understand. And this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Closing out today's program, we invite you to contact us. Maybe you have a question, comment about the program. Maybe you'd like to listen to the broadcast again. Any reason at all, we'd love to hear from you, even if it's just a quick praise report saying thanks for the program. That means a great deal to us. You reach out to us at agradio.org or call 888-504-8805. Now, bear in mind, as you visit us online, again, agradio.org, that'll also provide a great jumping-off point to the other platforms that we're available on, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Again, you can jump off to any of those platforms through our website, agradio.org. If you do have a question you would like Pastor Chris to address here on the program, we would invite you to use your voice memo app on your smartphone. Record your question, your name, and where you're calling from, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. If we use your question on the air, we'll email you back and let you know when the program airs, so you'll be able to listen to Pastor Chris's answer again right here on Abounding Grace Radio. And then finally, as we conclude our time today, a quick reminder that this radio broadcast airs on this station you're listening to because friends of the ministry come alongside of us prayerfully and financially. There is a financial cost to making sure that these programs continue to air here on this station. And if you would like to link arms and partner with us, become a part of this family, we would love to hear from you. Again, reach out to us at agradio.org or simply call 888-504-8805. Well, we look forward to seeing you next time we get together. Until then, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.